The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Thursday. We are going to talk about the Robert Sarver article that just came out within the last half hour over on ESPN.com, and I'm going to read it verbatim to you. There's a lot of people wanting to react, and this is one of those where I look at it. I've talked to some people that are still part of the Suns. I've talked to some people that were there just in the last 25 minutes. If you're not aware, just go over to the website. There's a link to the story that ESPN put out on this story of Suns owner Robert Sarver. Allegations of racism, misogyny within the Phoenix Suns inside Robert Sarver's 17-year tenure as owner. And let's just start from this. ESPN is a partner of the NBA, okay? So, and they're a strong partner of the NBA. So whenever there's something behind the scenes, and this story, and talking with several people here since about mid-September, this story was supposed to break around Labor Day. And the lawyers have gotten involved. And so a couple weeks back, the Suns sent a preemptive strike by putting it out there. I was at dinner the other night with some people, and they said, so whatever happened to the Sarver story? And it's coming. So today it dropped. It dropped about 9:30 this morning. I had a completely different show, and this is what you do in the business when you have a completely different show. You react. And I'm not going to sit here today and put people on and just say, so what do you think? It's 30 minutes into this, and this is the tip of the iceberg on this story. This is not one of those that, okay, the story's out, and we're just going to go play basketball. But I am going to read it to you because many of you are in a space where you can't just click on and read a story, and I think for context sake, we'll just go through it. I do want to say, though, that and just looking at texts of people there internally and outward, I feel sad for all those that are people after reading it. I don't feel like the writer scratched the surface of some of the more well-known stories and actions, but I realize he probably had legal heat too. Yeah, that's the reaction that I'm getting today. So on the evening, I'm reading this now from Baxter Holmes. Baxter Holmes is the senior writer at ESPN. And this story just happened about 40 minutes ago in regards to Suns owner Robert Sarver. On the evening of October 30th, 2016, at Talking Stick Resort Arena in downtown Phoenix, Earl Watson, in just his third game as Suns head coach, faced a tall task: meet the powerhouse Golden State Warriors. The young Phoenix Suns team had been toiling at the bottom of the NBA standings for years, missing the playoffs for six straight seasons. While churning through head coaches, Watson was the fourth in as many years. Still, the Suns were playing the eventual NBA champs close, even leading by 13 in the first half, but it didn't last. The Warriors took control in the fourth quarter, cementing a 106-100 win, dropping the Suns to 0-3. After the loss, Suns majority owner, it's important because there's some other owner stuff within this report today. After the loss, Suns majority owner Robert Sarver entered the coach's locker room, Watson told ESPN. You know, why does Draymond Green get to run up and down the court, say the N-word? Sarver, who is white, allegedly said, repeating the N-word several times in a row. You can't say that, Watson, who is black and Hispanic, told Sarver. Why, Sarver replied. Draymond Green says the N-word. You can't effing say that, Watson said again. This antidote offers a glimpse into conduct that sources told ESPN Sarver has often exhibited since buying the Suns in 2004. Here's some of the meat on this. Interviews with more than 70 former and current Suns employees throughout Sarver's 17-year tenure describe a toxic and sometimes hostile workplace under Sarver. Some told ESPN that he has used racially insensitive language repeatedly in the office. Employees recounted conduct they felt was inappropriate. And hang on here. Go away. That's what happens when you read. We'll pick it up here. Employees recounted conduct they felt was inappropriate and misogynic, including Sarver once passing around a picture of his wife in a bikini to employees and speaking about times his wife performed oral sex on him. Some said the longtime owner fostered an environment in which employees felt they were his property, even once asking one woman whether he owned her to determine whether she worked for the Suns. The level of misogyny and racism is beyond the pale, one Suns co-owner said about Sarver. It's embarrassing as an owner. Okay, so let's just stop there for a moment. Obviously, you can't make jokes like that. And if you think that you can, you'll never be an owner of a sports franchise or probably a lot of places for very long when you have hundreds and hundreds of employees. That's one. Two, you have a co-owner that is saying, okay, here's what's going on. I'll talk. Said a former Suns basketball executive. There's literally nothing you could tell me about him from a misogynic or race standpoint that would surprise me. Okay, so we go down here. Through his legal team, Sarver denied using racially insensitive language. I've never called anyone or any group of people the N-word or referred to anyone or any group of people by the N-word, either verbally or in writing. I don't use that word. It's abhorrent and ugly, denigrating, and against everything I believe in. Sarver did acknowledge using the word once many years ago. On one occasion, a player used the N-word to describe the importance of having each other's back, Sarver said through his attorneys. So it's a lot of he said, she said here on the front end, but I go to the quote from a co-owner, and I go to some of the stories that are there, and knowing that the Suns released this a couple of weeks back, some of the legal side of it, and knowing that ESPN is a partner with the NBA and with the Phoenix Suns, because everyone is texting on the, does this mean he's going to have to sell the team? Does this mean that there's going to be some level of punishment from the NBA towards Robert Sarver? And again, we're 48 minutes since this report was released. Can I talk about this, and does it sound great, and should I be outraged and throw Robert Sarver out in the street? Absolutely. Absolutely. Something should be done here. But again, as people are texting me, this report has been watered down somewhat. In addition to Sarver, ESPN reached out to other Suns employees, including general manager James Jones, who issued a one-sentence statement. None of what's been said describes the Robert Sarver I know, respect, and like. It just doesn't. Jason Rowley, president and CEO of the Suns, defended Sarver. This story is completely outrageous and false. It doesn't represent at all the Robert Sarver I've worked alongside of for 15 years. He's not a racist and he's not a sexist. NBA spokesman Mike Bass said the league has not received a complaint of misconduct at the Suns organization through any of our processes, including our confidential workplace misconduct hotline or other correspondence. NBPA Executive Director Michelle Roberts said she was not aware of any reports from players of misconduct by Sarver or the Suns. Apart from point guard Chris Paul and James Jones, we've not had much official contact with the team, and none that I can think of with Sarver. Current and former Suns employees told ESPN that Sarver is known to say he is brutal to work for, a line he has repeated over the years, even in job interviews. Sarver has told executives they were paid a lot of money to put up with my shit. If the commissioner comes in and investigates to see what the F is going on in Phoenix, one current business operations employee told ESPN he would be appalled. If the commissioner comes in and investigates to see what the F is going on in Phoenix, one current business operations employee told ESPN he would be appalled. There are warning signs. And this is a long, long story, but I think if you go piece by piece through this, so you have some present, you have a present owner, you have a present business operations employee. You can already see and imagine the owner seeing this report and going downstairs. This can't be the first time that he's seen the report. You have to remember the NBA with all their legal teams and broadcast meetings. You know, the Suns have a game tonight. I can only imagine what Tom Leander and Tom Chambers are going to have to say or not say on the pregame show, and if it's just going to be stick to basketball, which I'm sure it's going to be with Eddie Johnson and Kevin Ray tonight. It's just going to be stick to basketball. Maybe there's somewhere in the broadcast where they have to address this. Reading on, there were warning signs from the beginning. The Suns were coming off a 29-53 season in 2004, and an early major decision for Sarver centered on the signing of the team's top free agent that summer, Steve Nash. A recruiting pitch was set up for the start of free agency among Sarver and others. Attendees, including Nash's agent Bill Duffy and 2003 Rookie of the Year Amari Stoudemire, both of whom are black. Three people in the room told ESPN that during the meeting, Sarver made a comment they felt was racially insensitive. They could not recall specifics, but they said they felt he too loosely used the term black guy during the conversation. Ultimately, the Suns got their target, but we signed Steve Nash despite Robert, said a basketball executive who was there. Now, there weren't many executives that were there, if I remember right, but I don't want to go down that path now. That's just kind of a question mark that I'm putting in my mind to go back and remember who was there. There are a few, and I'm not going to go through them and get it wrong. Sarver's lawyers told ESPN the anecdote was too vague and happened too long ago to address specifically, but they did note that nothing racially inappropriate was said and that 73% of NBA players in 2004 were black. Thus, those conversations certainly would have referenced black men. Sarver, they said, was integral in signing Nash. It was one of the first instances in which Sarver's conduct raised questions among employees. Here we go again with the people internally. At least a half dozen Suns staffers recounted to ESPN instances of Sarver hearing a story from a black player and then using the same language when retelling it down to the usage of the N-word. You're like, whoa, Robert, you can't do that, said one former basketball executive. Another former Suns head coach said such instances were commonplace. A black basketball operations staffer told ESPN he has heard Sarver say the N-word multiple times. Sarver once used the N-word when trying to explain to a staffer why he preferred hiring Lindsey Hunter over Dan Majerle as head coach in 2013. According to a high-level executive who heard the remark, Hunter was a first-year Suns player development coordinator while Majerle was in his fifth year as a Suns associate head coach. These N-words need an N-word, Sarver told the staffer of his largely black team, according to the executive. Okay, so go back and who was the executive or executives in 2013. Sarver again cited race as the reason the team needed to hire Watson as head coach in 2016. A former Suns basketball executive said, a young black coach could better relate to black players, Sarver reasoned, and could speak their language. Through legal representation, Sarver denied the allegation about Hunter, saying he never used the N-word and never used words to that effect, and said race was never discussed during Watson's hiring process. Fast forward now, before the 2017-18 season, a tense front office situation provided another glimpse into interactions with Sarver employees felt were racially insensitive. Late in the previous season, point guard Eric Bledsoe had been benched in a tanking effort led by Sarver, former basketball operations staffer said. Issues with the benching percolated into the offseason when Bledsoe was eligible for contract extension. Contract talks eventually led Bledsoe's Clutch Sports agent Rich Paul to communicate directly with Sarver. The Suns owner didn't want to extend Bledsoe's contract in part due to concerns about Bledsoe's durability, plus concerns that the team had performed poorly with him as the starting point guard, according to sources at the time. So you go to according to sources at the time. Paul responded to Sarver's remarks by saying that he knew basketball and they weren't talking about tennis, Sarver's childhood sport. Sarver erupted at the dig, according to two people with knowledge of the interaction, telling Paul he was going to fire Watson as the team's head coach if Watson didn't sever ties with Clutch, which had been representing Watson within 10 days just after the start of the season. Watson said that Sarver's ultimatum quickly reached him. He asked Sarver if he was serious. Quote, yeah, I will effing fire you, Sarver told Watson. You have 10 days to think about it. Don't wait too long. Watson said he explained to Sarver the optics of a white owner asking a black coach to fire an agency led by a black agent, Paul. Quote, yeah, I understand what race you two are, Sarver replied, according to Watson. So I'm asking you, how bad do you want your job? Watson said he told Sarver that he wasn't going to fire Clutch. You can do whatever you want, Watson said. He told Sarver, you own this team, but my culture is not for sale and I'm not for sale. Through legal representation, Sarver said his issue with Clutch was solely due to a conflict of interest, that a coach and a player could not be represented by the same agent. Sarver denied the conversation anything to do with race. Watson, when told of Sarver's response, said, "Rich was never my agent. Watson was represented by Clutch Sports, which is owned by Paul." Quote, "Guess who did my contract when I got hired to be a head coach with the Suns," Clutch said. Watson said, "If Clutch did my contract, wouldn't the Suns have just told me we can't sign you because it's a conflict of interest? They did my interim contract, and they did my other contract. They did two contracts for me." The Suns lost their first three games of the season by a combined 92 points. Watson's final day as head coach was a 130-88 loss to the Clippers. Sarver fired him the next day. Quote, "It's almost like an ownership thing," Watson told ESPN. "He wants people to call him and beg him." In Watson's first year leading the bench in Phoenix, Sarver asked about the state of the organization, where Watson thought it could improve. Watson told Sarver that it suffered from a lack of diversity. Quote, "I don't like diversity," Sarver replied, according to Watson and a basketball operations staffer with knowledge of the interaction. Sarver said to Watson that having a diverse staff made it hard for people to agree. A lack of diversity among the organization's highest ranks was an issue that a number of employees voiced to their superiors, including to Sarver. Multiple employees said, quote, "Everybody knows that our diversity here is shit," one current business employee said. Through legal representation, the Suns said the organization has a long history of prioritizing racial diversity since Mr. Sarver purchased an ownership interest in the team. So I'm going through this, and I'm reading down to this part for the first time right with you guys, hearing about it, okay? I saw the front end, and people are calling me, so I'm just reading this and going through it, and I'm processing of, here's his story, here's the Suns' denial. Here's his story, here's the Suns' denial. But when you have people within the organization, it's not good. I'm understating it. Through legal representation, the Suns said the organization has a long history of prioritizing racial diversity since Mr. Sarver purchased an ownership interest in the team. The Suns also said that in 2020, they emphasized increasing diversity among the team's membership team, team's business leadership, I should say. The Suns say they have filled executive level and VP level positions across the organization with people from underrepresented backgrounds, adding that the Suns and Mercury employ black people at more than three times the rate of their demographic representation in Maricopa County. They also pointed out that six of their last 10 head coaches were black, including the current head coach, Monty Williams, and general manager, James Jones. These men were hired because they were best applicants to fill their respective positions. Watson said one of the final interactions with Sarver was explaining how Watson believed the owner's outbursts negatively affected every aspect of the franchise, from the players' performance on the court to the coaches' abilities to do their jobs to the front office's abilities to make sound basketball decisions to the way the Suns were officiated. During Sarver's tenure, the Suns have cycled through nine head coaches, including seven in an eight-year span, and eight general managers. Quote, "I said the only common denominator is you," Watson recalled. "This cemetery runs deep of coaches, GMs, players. You're the only common thread. It's you." Watson said he told Sarver that he was toxic and the Suns were toxic because of him. Sarver screamed back, "You're effing toxic." Through his legal representation, Sarver said one of the reasons we parted ways with Mr. Watson was because of the toxic work environment under his leadership during his tenure as head coach. There was an incredible amount of conflict on the team between Mr. Watson and the front office. I don't specifically remember using the quote reference, but during the conversation, I did use colorful language and did refer to Mr. Watson as toxic. Said general manager Jones, through Sarver's attorneys, "On multiple occasions, I've observed Earl engage in behavior and use language that was extremely unprofessional and offensive that does not align with who we are." So I got to take a breath here for a moment. So there's a lot of he said and she said, as I've been sitting here on the air as this story is broke. And like I said, I'm not just going to put somebody on the air to say, what's your reaction to this? Just read this and today we'll go through it. Will he survive? This business people that I know is not good these days. You just don't know what is real and not real. And if he can survive this, wow. Wow is what I'm getting. And then there should be more well-known antidotes and actions, but I realize he had legal heat too. So this is the story that broke today, and I think I've taken you through enough of this, and that as I'm scrolling down, there's a lot more. And there is a former Suns account executive that is in here. He gets on Corliss Williamson, but that's, I mean, there's just, I'm going to just leave it at that. So again, this is real. This is where it is with me. I just look at things, share with you what my initial thoughts were. I've not read all the way through this because it broke broke less than an hour ago, or about an hour ago, I should say. And so we'll do more on this. Obviously, this is not going to be a one-day thing. There'll be plenty of reaction up on the site when the time is appropriate. We're not just going to sit here and go through the can he survive and not survive. That's going to be the narrative today. And yeah, it's easy for me to look at this on the face and say, at a minimum, there's going to be some punishment from the NBA. The fact that ESPN did get this through NBA Entertainment, it's just, I may be repeating myself to some of you that were there at the top of the show, but to think that the NBA doesn't have the ability to squash stories, you know, this is a story that got through the NBA, which tells me a little bit too about the NBA's stance. They want this out there. They want it sanitized with, well, we're going to deny it, but they want it out there. Because at its highest level, when you have a partnership of billions and billions of dollars, you can get stories squashed. I've seen stories squashed here in town. Heard stories squashed here in town. And it's unfortunate that people try to bully their way through. So I applaud these people that decided, you know what, I'm going to come out and I'm going to say something. All right. That's it for now. Have a good day.